Good morning. So it's always a joy to be here, and it's a blessing to be with you today. This is an amazing time of year. Last Sunday was Mothering Sunday. Today in the church here is Passion Sunday. We're going to think about the cross. Next weekend is Palm Sunday. Then Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Isn't that exciting? It's a great time. I wonder, if you had to go to a desert island, what books you take with you? And you've got the Bible, okay? I would take a book by a guy called Monty Don about his garden. Anyone read that? It's called The Jewel Garden. It's one of my favourite books. It's a beautiful story of how he's kind of dealt with struggling with depression. He's kind of found redemption through gardening. And I read it and I think, Monty, you need Jesus. He's the Redeemer. But it's a beautiful book. And the other book I'd take is this one here. I've got a little slide of it. There we go. Does it come up here? Great. Gentle and Lowly. The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And I can't never get enough of reading this book. I'm reading it at the moment with two people to encourage them. I've read it about four times. It's a beautiful book to read because it just shows us how wonderful the gospel is. And I read it and I think it's just too good to be true, but it is true. And if you get a chance to read it, do you read it? It shows the heart of Christ for people like us who struggle with sin. And as Trish beautifully described, that real struggle for her, it's a struggle for us all. Day by day, we struggle with our sin. We can lose heart, and yet we see the glory of Christ and his heart for people like us. And so this morning, thinking about Romans 6, I'm going to quote a little bit from this book, Romans 5. I'm going to think quote a bit from this book, which has really encouraged me in my own Christian life. So let me pray again as we come to God's word. And if you've got that passage open, it's Romans 5, page 942. We'll look at it together this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we are weak sinners. We thank you for your grace. Help us to know more of the height, depth, breadth of your love. Thrill our hearts with gospel truth that we are saved and loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know if you've been watching the Six Nations. It's been an absolute disaster for Wales. We've got the wooden spoon. I'm in the Sea of Despond as a Welshman. And all my friends around me have been delighted at the fact that Wales keep losing. I don't know what it is. But can you imagine what it's like to be in those teams? This massive event coming out on the pitch under huge pressure to perform. And they know it's very easy to be dropped from the team, to be put back on the bench. The fear of failure is massive. It can be crippling. High-octane athletes talk about that as being a real problem. The pressure of feeling like you're going to be dropped. The pressure to perform. And that's true for lots of environments, isn't it? Whether it's at work or in your family, if you don't deliver, it can be really, really hard. My question this morning is this. Is that how it feels for you with the Lord? Is that how you feel this morning, that maybe if you mess up too many times, if you sin so many times, that the Lord will drop you when you fail, when we sin? Do we fear that it's like that with the Lord God? That he will value us less? He loves us less when we sin and fail. Now, our devil, the enemy, loves us to think like that. He wants us to think that we cannot be secure in God's love. He wants us to lose our assurance in the Christian faith that we are loved and belong to God come what may when we come to faith in Christ. We know, don't we, that our own loyalty and faithfulness waxes and wanes. And we can think that God is like that too. We can think that he loves me. He loves me. Remember playing that as a child with the daisy or a dandelion? He loves me. He loves me. Generally, it was for me, she loves me, she loves me not, about the girls I fancied growing up. She loves me not. Well, we can think like that as believers about God's love for us. He loves me. He loves me not. You see, in my own heart as a Christian, I want to please Jesus. I want to live a godly life for him. Yet when I let the Lord down, it feels like I can carry a weight, a burden. My soul can droop in his presence. I think, how does God view me? How does he feel about me? I know my sins before I was a Christian are forgiven, but what about my sins now, since coming to Christ? How does God view me now as a failing sinner? So imagine somebody called Sian. She's been a Christian for years. She still can't quite believe the sins she's committed before she was converted have been forgiven, let alone the ones she still commits now. She says to herself, does God really love me and accept me and forgive me? He loves me. He loves me not. What about Jerry? He keeps falling back into the old habit of lying and backbiting. He's resolved not to do it again, not to join in with his colleagues or his family, who can be quite critical, but he's gone off and done it again. And he feels so devastated and condemned. Can God still love me? Well, I've messed up again in that same area. He feels guilt and wonders. He loves me. He loves me not. What about someone like Tina? She thought she'd broken the pattern of sin, but she found herself addicted again to her phone and watching rubbish on it. She thought she was done with that. And once again, she's fallen back into that bad habit. She feels such guilt and condemnation. She wonders, can God still be bothered with her? Can he forgive me? He loves me. He loves me not. What does God's word have to say to characters like Sean and Tina and Jerry and to Steve and to us this morning as we struggle with sin and feel condemned so often? Well, our passage this morning will help us to see that because God shed his love for us on the cross in the past, we can know that he loves us now. It's a great truth. He loved us then at the cross. Therefore, he loves us now. And he will always love us eternally. And that's how our reading in Romans 5, 6 to 11 works. God shows he loves us then at the cross. And that's our assurance, friends, that he loves us now and he will love us forevermore. We first experienced his love when we became Christians, when we were saved, when we became part of God's family, whether that was a moment in time or a gradual process of coming to grasp who Jesus is. And that's what the cross is all about. God shows his love for us at the cross. If you look at verse 8, at what it says, it's a great verse, very well known. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This verse shows us that God's love for us is so clear in the past. He shows his love by allowing his son to die in our place. Christ died for us. Historical truth in the past. Back in 2012, MasterCard, the credit card company, had a competition to allow the winner to promote their love for their beloved on a huge billboard. There was no doubt who this guy loved. Can you see him? He's actually sitting on that billboard. And it says this, Hannah Davis, please be my Valentine. Nice, big and bold. It was obvious who that guy loved on a big billboard. He made it utterly clear. Well, God's billboard to his people is the cross. He shows his love for us at the cross. He acted in love to people whose situation was very serious. Did you notice that? When he saved us through the cross, do you see how it describes what we are like? Verse 6, we were weak. When you were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled, made friends by the death of his son. If you look back to what we were like, to the people God saved, the cross, our condition before Christ was serious. Weak, verse 6, ungodly, no moral strength to save ourselves. We were sinners, verse 8, those who rebel against the Lord. Verse 10, we were enemies. We, in our sin, pushed God away. We were not at peace with him. We were his enemies. We were rebels. But wonderfully, God showed his love for us back then. Just think, has it ever been that we have earned or merited God's love? No. Has it ever been about our performance that we've deserved God's love? No. When we were weak, he loved us. He didn't die for us when we became a bit stronger. When we were sinners, verse 8, he didn't die for us until we'd sorted things out. When we were enemies, verse 10, God didn't reconcile us to himself once we'd become a bit more friendly towards him. He didn't meet us halfway, assessing our worth. That's not his heart. The glory of God, friends, is that weak, sinful enemies are shown lavish, gracious love through the sacrifice of Jesus. And the cross is the visible demonstration of the heart of God for people like you and me. He took the initiative based on his loving care and concern, his grace. This is not what we deserve, friends. We were running away from him as fast as we could. Yet in his divine love, he pursued us. In his salvation plan, he came after us. That is his heart for sinful, weak enemies. Amazing. What a plan. I love the way that Dale writes about God's heart. Let me read you a quote. God's heart is to rinse muddy sinners clean and hug them into his heart. Is that how you see the Lord? God's heart is to rinse muddy sinners clean and hug them into his heart forever. When we became Christians, the Spirit of God came into our lives. And as he pours his Spirit in, we realize just how much he loves us. It's extraordinary that Jesus put himself into the murderous hands of his enemies, that he took all my sin on himself, that he left heaven and on the cross endured my hell. He absorbed my punishment, my condemnation. That is God's amazing love. He did that to rinse me clean, to hug me into his heart forever. He showed his love for you, friends, in the past at the cross. If God loved you then actually he still loves you now. If you think what you were like then, he certainly loves you now. You see, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul in this passage, wants us to know what Christ has done in the past so we can have assurance today and forever and confidence for the future that we are loved and saved forever. If God saved us when we had zero interest in him, when we were screwed up in sin, when we were weak and powerless, sinful enemies, if he's already done that, then no need to worry now. Look at how verse 9 and 10 work. Verse 9, have a look at that. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. I'll read it again. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath to come of God? Justified. That's that glorious truth that when we trust Jesus, God sees us like Christ, just as if I've never sinned. Justified. Just as if I've never sinned. Justified by his blood in the past at the cross. And how much more because of that will I be saved by him from the wrath to come, judgment to come? What he's done in the past guarantees what he will do for me in the future. And that means I can know now I'm saved securely from the wrath to come. Loved now, forgiven now, secure now. And again, in verse 10, Paul makes a similar point. Look at it. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Let me read it again. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Much more. How much more will we be saved by his life? Now that we're reconciled, we will be saved. We are secure and assured of pardon now. Do you see his thinking? If he loved us then at the cross when we were enemies, he loves us now as his friends. And he'll continue to love us. Saved and loved then at the cross, enemies reconciled, made friends, so we can be assured now and for the future. How much more will we be saved? It's impossible for those whom God has justified not to be saved and taken to the new heaven and new earth. And this is the glory of the gospel. Through and through, it's his work, isn't it? Through faith in Jesus, we are his forever, his justified, forgiven friends. We're adopted into his family. We are his sons and daughters. We are secure in his love. And the great news is this, there's no expiry date. Let me tell you about a joint of lamb. Never forget, I had a roast lamb dinner at my mother-in-law's house many years ago. She brought in this joint of lamb, and as we ate the lamb, it was lacking taste. But because I was a son-in-law, I thought, keep mouth shut and just chew and eat. But it's no surprise at the end of the meal that she was delighted to tell us after we'd eaten it. She said, do you know what? Guess how long that lamb has been in the freezer for? 1 year, no. 5 years, no. 10 years, no. 12 years, no. 15 years. She said, 20 years, did you notice? 20 years in the freezer. I found it at the back of the freezer 20 years ago. Put it there. How was it? Well, keep mouth shut, son. That lamb had expired, friends. It had expired. It had been frozen for 20 years. There was no flavour in it at all. Now, does God's love for us expire after a certain amount of time? Does he say, this long and no further, or because of this and no more? No, it never loses its flavour, its power, its impact. If I sin and let my Saviour down again, does his love for me expire? No, no expiry date. How much more will we be saved by him from the wrath to come? Do you think that when you sin, which we all do every day, that somehow he doesn't love you anymore? But you know what? Through his Son, he drew near to you when you were weak, sinful enemies, when you were far off. And enemies have now been brought near through his blood, reconciled. Listen to what Dale says in this book. He eagerly suffered for us when we were failing as orphans. Will he cross his arms over our failure now that we are his adopted children? No, he won't. His heart towards us was gentle and lowly when we were lost. Will his heart be anything different now towards those who he has found and made his own forever? Great news, friends, is that God showed his love for us at the cross. And he loved us then. Yes, he did. And that means he loves us now and he will forever. No expiry dates. And the fact that we feel disappointments when we fail him. And we do, don't we? When we sin, it actually is evidence when we're disappointed in ourselves that we are one of his. The fact that it bothers us shows we are adopted children. You see, a cold, dead heart would not be bothered. But a heart that has been brought to life by the Spirit of God, is warmed by the love of God, is bothered by sin and seeks to resolve by strength in a new day to follow him more faithfully. The reality is we do sin. And we need to keep on repenting and turning away from it. Committing ourselves afresh each day to walking in his ways. Depending on God's grace to live in his holy way. Repentance and faith. Turning away from sin and trusting in Jesus afresh is a daily part of the Christian life. God showed his love for us at the cross. He loved us then. He loves us now and will forever. Well, I wonder how you would apply these truths to our three friends, Sian and Terry and Tina. Sian's been a Christian for years and she can't quite believe that the sin she's committed before she was a Christian had been forgiven, let alone the sin she commits now. Does God love her and forgive her? And what would you say? Yes, he does. God shed his love for you at the cross when you're an enemy, when you're weak, when you're powerless, when you're a sinner. And if he loved you then, Sean, he loves you now. Now trust in him and follow him and know his grace and pardon. Is Terry falling back into lying and backbiting? He's resolved not to do it, but he's just failed again. He feels devastated. Does God still love you, Terry? Yes, he does. If he loved you at the cross when you're an enemy, powerless, sinful, for sure he loves you now. You've been reconciled. Now repent of your sin and trust his grace to live for him. Keep fighting. What about Tina, addicted again to her phone and watching rubbish on it? She thought she'd broken the habit, but she's done it again and she just can't break it. Does God still love her? Does she feel such a failure? Can he love me now? Yes, he does. If he loved you at the cross when you were an enemy and you were sinful and you were weak, how much more does he love you as his child now? Tina, come to him. Get some help. Rest secure. Repent and believe the gospel. Keep fighting. How glorious it is, my friends, that God has showed his love for us in the past. That billboard, that sign that he loved us then. And for sure he loves us now and he will love us forever. And we can cry, hallelujah. What a saviour. That's what Paul says we should do, isn't it? In verse 11, right at the end of our passage. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What's the response to this? Rejoicing. Rejoicing in what God has done. Hallelujah. What a saviour. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the comfort of your word. You know how frail our hearts are, how we struggle so much with our failures, and we just feel we've let you down, and how can you ever, ever be with us again? But we thank you that you are an amazing God, that you've shown us that you've loved us in the past, how much more you love us in the future. We are secure now. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in that, to stand against the lies of Satan who seeks to rob us of assurance. Help us, Lord, to keep repenting and believing the gospel, pursuing holiness, and resting secure in your love. Help us to rejoice in what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.